Welcome to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I am speaking to Thane Marcus Ringler, former pro golfer, now an author and a coach, and we are going to be speaking on the topic, From Here to There, The Path to Self-Mastery, which is also the title of Thane's new book, coming out in November. So welcome, Thane, to the Transform Your Mind radio show. I am going to enjoy your conversation. You're the first pro athlete that I've had on here. I had a scheduled interview for some a football guy that's won a Super Bowl. But we never actually did make it. So you're the first.
Awesome.
So welcome.
Oh, Myrna, thank you so much for having me on. I'm excited to share some conversations with you. And, yeah, it's an honor to be here talking with you today. Excited for what's going to come.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'm excited, too. All right. Well, I'm going to give you the biography of Thane. But before I do that, let me give a shout-out to the sponsor of today's episode, and that sponsor is Coffeeing XYZ. Coffeeing XYZ is your new favorite online magazine. We aim to deliver you entertaining, cheeky content, and everything that we and hopefully you love. Here at Coffeeing XYZ, we pride ourselves on being the best, wittiest, and most charming source for our four main passions: coffee, food, drinks, and lifestyle trends. We're the newest online magazine, and we're keen to splash the world of all things edible with a couple of lifestyle trends thrown in for good measure. Visit us online at CoffeeingXYZ. That is CoffeeingXYZ to see the latest posts in your new favorite online magazine. All right. Well, thank you, CoffeeingXYZ. So let me tell you now a little bit about Thane Marcus Ringler. Thane is a former pro golfer turned writer, speaker, collaborator, an entrepreneur living in Los Angeles, California. Thane is also the author of the newly released book, From Here to There, A Quarter-Life Perspective on the Path to Mastery. After competing for nearly 4 years as a professional golfer, he transitioned out of the world of golf and into his new endeavors. In his current work, Thane is coming alongside freelancers, business owners, and entrepreneurs to help them by taking the professional athlete's mindset to everyday people in everyday life. Now, you know I like that word, mindset, so that's awesome. He is passionate about speaking to the journey from the journey and wants to empower this generation to take ownership of their lives and never settle for less than they're capable of. Thane is the host of the Up and Comers Show, a podcast about learning how to live a good life. To find more on Thane and his work, visit thanemarcus.com. That is thanemarcus.com. Well, awesome, Thane. I love that name, by the way, too. It's unique.
Thank you. Yes.
All right, so you have an incredible journey, pro golfer. So I understand why you've written a book, because as a professional athlete, there's certain skills that you develop. So can you share your journey to becoming a professional golfer and how it marries to your life today as a coach, collaborator, and podcaster? And also, there must be a story in there why you actually gave up golf. So love to hear it.
Yes, indeed. Well, it is a journey, like everyone's life and path is a journey, and journeys take lots of time and usually involve lots of failure, and this is no doubt the same. So I started playing golf when I was really young. My dad got me into it and really enjoyed it. I was a competitive kid, so anything with competition and sports, I was in. So starting out in golf, I loved it because there wasn't anyone else responsible for success. It was only me, and I felt like I had the most control in that. So I think that was part of why I gravitated towards it as I grew up a little bit. And I had some natural talent and ability. We also lived, I grew up in Hutchinson, Kansas, so we lived a mile away from one of the best golf courses in America. And it was just a beautiful place to grow up, Prairie Dunes Country Club. And so I was really blessed by that location and just falling in love with the sport at a young age.
When you say young, did you start as young as Tiger, as 10 months?
Not quite as young as Tiger, no, yes. It was about 3 or 4 years old for me. But I do, you know, I do see the pictures of me with these little clubs. And I do remember at a young age going in the backyard and swinging the club with the fake wiffle ball with my dad. I mean, those were just great times.
Oh, so beautiful.
Yeah, so as I progressed, it became clear it was something that I could really build into. And my focus kind of narrowed on golf in high school. I started dropping other sports so that I could really focus on golf. And ended up playing in college at the Masters University out here in California, which is a Christian school in L.A. here. And played 4 years for them collegiately. And through that time, continued to progress to where by the time I reached between my junior and senior year was the time where I would decide between playing professional or not, and I wanted to be proactive about it. So through counsel, through objective feedback, through coaches, through other people in my life, it was clear that I had this skills and the tool set to do it, to be successful. And so that was the first kind of part of the equation. And so I decided to give it a shot. So my senior year, I created a business plan and the structure around getting the financing to play professional golf. And God blessed me with 10 to 11 sponsors and investors to back the journey to where when I graduated, I was able to turn professional right upon leaving college that May of 2014. And that kind of kicked off the four-year journey of playing professionally.
Okay. So what happened?
And so, yeah, so that was the first half of the story, right? The second half is really all that's transpired since then, which has been a lot. But the short of it is, you know, at the average time it takes a professional golfer to get at the PGA Tour, which is the ultimate goal for every professional golfer, as it is the best tour on the planet, the average time it takes is 7 to 10 years.
Really?
So it's not an overnight thing. There's the people that you know about, which is Tiger Woods and Jordan Spieth and Phil Mickelson and the 1% of the 1%, the superstars.
Yeah. It always happens that way. Yep.
Yes. The everyone else that is there playing with them and competing against them, majority of them, it was a long haul to get there. And so I knew this going in, and my plan was initially to play for 3 years and then reevaluate with my investors and team and sponsors. And so the first year was a lot of failure, a lot of learning, and really it was this process of development. Process of learning how to develop and grow as a human, very much the same as a golfer. And through that time, I started to learn, grow, and improve and see some slow signs of growth and success. But as about 2 years into the journey, after I had gotten partial status on the One Asia Tour in 2015, so I got to play in events over in South Korea and Fiji and Australia and overseas, which was amazing experiences.
Yeah.
And then unfortunately during that time, I wasn't able to capitalize on them. And so they went away. And then starting the next year was when I really was building into the next season of my career. But I started to face a systemic injury, which started in 2016, and it was a muscle strain in my back, caused by a million different factors that combined. And that kicked off about a year and a half journey of failing to rehab correctly, failing to recover with enough time, treating the symptom versus the root, and just really about five different cycles of pausing, recovering, getting better, returning, digressing, and repeating again. And so through that time was really when God kind of shifted my heart and and you know, these other avenues of what may be a part of my life started to show some glimpses and signs of, to where when I did reach the end of those first 3.5 years, it became clear that the body wasn't 100% healed. It was it was still questionable in some ways because it was golf specific. But the bigger thing that happened was that my desires and giftings and abilities had kind of shown a different way that I felt more called to than golf. And that was what made the decision this last December to transition out of golf.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's a good story. I love that because what I'm getting from it is the fact that, I mean, and I know that you're a Christian and you're God-centered. Do you feel that the golf part of your journey was your how God prepared you for what you're doing now for your real purpose? Or do you feel that, how do you feel, what do you feel your purpose is? Was it to play golf or to be what you're doing now?
Totally. Well, I believe fully it's to do what I'm doing now, and that's why I'm doing it. But God has prepared me perfectly for this and equipped me for this work through that journey. And I think the journey of professional golf was a hyper-focused form of personal development, because golf, is an arena where at the end of the day, you have to take 100% ownership of your career, your life, and your success, because there's no one to blame. There's no coaches. There's no teammates. There's no referee. There's no other external factors that you can blame for winning or losing. You have to take that ownership upon yourself. And so it forced me to leave no stone unturned in figuring out how to optimize and create the best form of myself as a competitor, as a golfer, so that I could be faithful to doing the best that I could. And you can't control outcomes, but you can control your preparation for those outcomes. Yeah. And that's really the schooling and training that golf, playing professional golf,
and also
really
focus. I understand that it's a big focus game. I've played golf a little bit, and of course, you know, my husband is a big Tiger fan. I know that a lot of the reasons that a lot of people love golf is because of just what you said. You're playing yourself, and when you do well, you know, you feel good because you're just besting yourself, and that's why it's so addictive, because you're right. You're playing against yourself, right? And the elements, I guess, or whatever. And you're right. You can't blame, you know, your caddy, or you can't blame, you know, the water or the sand, whatever. Yep. Yeah, you know. So you're right. It's definitely good preparation. But you were also born with the skill. So, you know, I do believe that, you know, sometimes your purpose is based on, you know, the talent that you're born with. So, you know, that's it's a kind of a call, you know, whether the golf is your purpose or what you're doing now. But regardless, you know, that's, you know, what you're doing now, and you're better at it because of the golf, because you're right. I love the way you used the word. It equipped you for what you're doing now. Yep.
Yeah, and I think that's the beauty of all of life is that, and this is something I'm really passionate about talking about now, is that, look, we don't have to worry about, is this the right decision for my life trajectory or purpose in life? And the point is, like, we needed to make the decision based on our current life, not on the future, because we don't know the future, but we can trust that what decision we do make will prepare us and equip us for whatever the future has, if we're faithful to really doing the best that we can now with this opportunity. And that's because, I never planned on being at this place where I am now as a speaker and a writer and entrepreneur and all these things. But because I was faithful to do the best that I could in golf and leave no stone unturned, it has equipped me for this work. If I hadn't been faithful to do that, then you know, yeah. then no, I wouldn't be ready for
Yeah,
this
you'll be there nursing, you know, your failed golf career and you know,
totally.
Self-pity
totally,
and all those
yeah.
different things, right? Yes. I hear
you.
You
made a good point, too. Like, what is talent nature or nurture? You know, that's a big question that a lot of people ask. And there's a really good book called The Talent Code by Daniel Coyle. And he really brings out that it is both. Like, there are talent hotbeds. There's places where external circumstances and realities impact a larger degree of talent from that area. But there's a very big component of it is the nurture. Just because you have the talent doesn't mean it will be nurtured to the level that you can be. And that's the deep work, the deep practice that it takes to really develop skill or competence in any field. And so it's always a combination of the two. But recognizing talent, if we can recognize the talent that we do have and take ownership of that, then we can start working on the deep work to bring out the best of that, which is really important too.
And nurture it. I love that. I'm going to quote that. Is talent, nature, nurture.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. All right. Well, we're on to an awesome start. Thank you for that. Now, there's something that stood out to me in your bio immediately because, you know, there's certain words that, you know, pop out to me because that's really, you know, what I saturate myself in, and that's the word mindset and transformation. So you mentioned that the mindset of a professional athlete, and I know we've probably touched on it a little bit in your journey a minute ago, but if you want to expand on that, the mindset of a professional athlete and your goal of transforming that mindset to the everyday people that you speak to and teach and collaborate with. So my question is, what is the mindset of a professional athlete as it relates to, you know, his clarity, focus, discipline, faith or belief, encouragement, and inspiration? I know it's a multitude of, you know, questions there, but I think that that's what you kind of hope to convey in your book. So, you know, maybe you can expand on it a little bit here.
Yeah. Well, I think the cool thing about sports is that they are a picture of life. They are a parallel reality to a lot of life. And the beauty of it too is as kids we're not open to adults or parents telling us what life is all about or what we should do in life. We're always like, don't tell me what to do, you know? But sports kind of cage these principles of life in a way that we can receive as kids when we don't receive most other instruction. And so I do think that really it teaches us so much about being a better human and a better person that they're such valuable arenas. And it could be even like the performance arts, when any of those where you're pushing yourself to be better than you maybe think you're even capable of and then figuring out a way to get there. I think in regards to the mindset of a professional athlete, like a mindset of a professional athlete is one that is competitive, but not just competitive, it's also inspired, you know? And I think that having that clear clarity on the clarity on what we're trying to accomplish is really important, but it's very rarely had. And so the goal is clear that everything falls into place after that because, okay, this is the end goal. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. I get the objective feedback of win or lose. And so now I figure out how to get it to where the reality that I want, which is win, you know? And so in life, I think the same is true. It's just less clear. So getting people clear about their vision, where they're heading, the trajectory, their goals, the real thing that's in front of them that they're striving towards is so important, yet very few people. And really, it takes a teammate a lot of times to help us, a coach to help us get clear about that with ourselves and be honest with ourselves. And then the other is like the mindset of getting there is just really the patience and persistence to see that long-term vision through. And that just takes living every day with inspiration, so holding that goal in front of you, but it also takes daily discipline to do the dirty work, the baby steps to get there, because it's never as glamorous or as fun or as as enjoyable as it may seem. You know, playing professional golf was not glamorous. It was not a lot of fun a lot of times. It was very hard. But that's all of life. Like, it doesn't matter what the arena is. It's not going to be a walk in the park, but seeing beauty in that, beauty in the work and the progress that you can make is a part of that transforming your mindset in a sense.
Awesome. So how does faith and belief come into that?
Yeah. So for me, like, faith and belief are everything. Well, first of all, like, on a practical level, in golf, for example, if I don't believe that I have the ability to win a tournament or to beat my playing partner or whatever it is, I'm never going to do it. I'm never going to coach that. If I don't have the belief that I can hit an individual shot, say I'm trying to hit a shot over the water, if I don't think I can hit over the water, I'm not going to hit it over the water. You know, like, things don't just happen by chance. And so it does take a momentary belief. It takes a bigger, like, competitive belief. And then it takes also just the self-belief that, that you can and will. You do have the power to do these things. And then it does take time, but you can accomplish it over time. But I think beyond just the practical application of it, there's the overarching application of it, to where, as you mentioned before, I'm a Christian, and so my faith and my belief stems from God's word, the Bible, and from my belief in Jesus Christ. And so because of those things, like, those are my ultimate why. Those are the reasons why I do all that I do. And and there will be people that they have different beliefs and faith, and,
yes,
and
of course.
The point is, like, you need to be clear about your foundational why. Why you do what you do, what you believe to be true, and why, and why you're working towards the goals that you are. I think that foundational purpose is so essential to consistency over a long period of time. The consistency over a long period of time that actually produces big results and big change and big progress in our lives and then in the lives of others and society around us.
Yeah, all right. That's pretty good. Yeah, I like that. I was reading a book the other day, or I listened to a podcast. I'm not sure. I have a lot of input from different places.
Yeah.
And they mentioned that one of the reasons that people are so into sports is because it mirrors life. So it's just an opposite end of, you know, basically. I never thought of that before, that, you know, whether the team win or lose, or, you know, it's like, you know, life, because it's, and you mentioned something like that. You said that that sports put, you know, gives you feedback immediately, right? And it's caged, I like your word, where, you know, it cages these principles, and it's a parallel reality to life. And that's basically what, you know, this person was saying. And, you know, I don't get totally involved like my husband and a lot of people do. I just watch it. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I would watch any movie or something, you know. But, you know, some people, some sports fans, you know, really get upset, or they get depressed. And, you know, they when their teams lose, it's like horrible. And when their team win, it feels like they have won the trophy themselves. And it's I like your word, it's caged into reality. And somehow it gives them something that they're missing, you know, elsewhere. But.
Fascinating.
What was that?
It is fascinating, very, very fascinating to see. And, but I think it's so helpful. It's such a blessing to have. So it's a cool thing to appreciate. It's just it's also, I think, important, like you said, to make sure that it isn't replacing life itself.
Well, that's what a lot of them do.
Yeah,
they sit on the couch and watch TV, and that's their life. You know what I mean? The person that's playing, it's so that's awesome. All right, we're off to a rocking start. Let's take our first break, and we'll come back, and we will talk to Thane on his book, From Here to There, A Quarter-Life Perspective on the Path to Mastery. So we'll get into some deeper content. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Are you dissatisfied with your life and your job? Do you feel bored, unfulfilled, maybe unhappy, stressed, or burnt out? Do you expect more from life? Then you might be interested in Tris Morgan's new book, Have the Courage to Be You. How Not to Live a Life of Quiet Desperation. Tris Morgan makes a compelling case of why choosing yourself really is the only sensible option you have in your life. Don't count on your job, your company, or your bosses to fill your life with meaning and purpose. Instead, create your own future and chart your destiny by changing your attitudes towards yourself and life itself. Have the Courage to Be You was written by Tris Morgan, CEO of www.retiredby35.com, an early retirement and personal growth blog. That website again is www.retiredby35.com. 5-star rated. Have the Courage to Be You by Tris Morgan. Now available on Amazon and where all books are sold.
Hello and welcome to SamGood.com. We offer innovative solutions for the lawn care and vehicle washing industry for both customers and providers. We welcome you to review the information on our site so you could learn how we operate and how you can benefit. We're not just another lawn care or vehicle washing business. We're transforming the industry by directly connecting customers with qualified providers. Now, hold on to your seat for a minute, because what I'm about to say will probably shock you and hopefully pique your interest. Listen very carefully. The first 1,000 customers to receive 20 ordered jobs, meaning lawn care yard cuts, vehicle washings, or both, they will receive what we call CRAF, a Customer Relief Appreciation Fund, which is $10,000 paid out to beneficiaries of a customer if they pass away. Now, the customer still receives the funding even if we never do another job for them again after the initial 20. We offer this as an added benefit to show our appreciation to our valued customers. But wait, there's more. If a beneficiary of that customer were to pass away, that customer would receive the $10,000 or more. We say more because after we've done 20 jobs for the customer, $100 is added to the $10,000 for each additional job performed. So, every time a customer wants work done by us, we add $100 to their fund. We are the only company around that's rewarding customers on this level for just trying out our services. And our ideas of how to reward customers are only going to get better as we grow. Our valued customers will always remain our top priority. Thank you, and we look forward to having you as a customer or provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to Thane Marcus Ringley, and Thane is the author of From Here to There, The Path to Self-Mastery. Actually, the full title of the book is From Here to There, A Quarter-Life Perspective on the Path to Mastery. So, love that title. So, first of all, I've never seen that word quarter-life perspective, or that phrase, I should say. So, right off the bat, Thane, can you explain what that means and you know, what is your quarter-life perspective on self-mastery?
Great. Yeah. So it's funny, actually, the name, I give a lot of credit to my grandpa for that help. So when I was writing this book, he's been an influential voice in my life and a big blessing for me. But I remember him talking about the concepts and saying, look, Thane, you're on mile 9 of a marathon. And for you to be writing about the marathon from mile 9 isn't very wise. And I was like, you know what, you're right, Grandpa. He is very wise. So I really wanted to be clear that this book is just that, my quarter life perspective. So, you know, we think about, you know, quarter life is if a life is 80 years, I'd be 20, but technically I'm thinking hundreds. So this is my 25-year-old's perspective. Mm-hmm. I wrote it when I was mainly 25. I'm now 26. And so it was just communicating clearly that, look, this is my quarter life perspective on it. Take it as that. I'm not claiming to have the end-all, be-all perspective on it, but I am saying that I think that this perspective can be helpful for people, especially in the process of it, from the process of it. And so that is where, and I hadn't heard of it a lot either, so it was kind of nice to come across that. I don't even remember exactly how the words came together, but it is something I'm really thankful to be able to communicate that in a subtitle like that.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But I, you know, it you know, it's one of those things where you can guess. And I thought so that quarter life is something to do with the age 25. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, you look at something, you look at a word, and sometimes you can guess the meaning, and sometimes you have no clue. So
yes.
At least in your case, you could make an assumption. All right, so, and I like what your grandfather said, yeah, because we know the marathon is 26 miles, and
yes.
If you're at mile 9, right, so what you're doing is just projecting, because you don't know the facts, you're just projecting, so I like that as well, yep, okay.
Yeah, and it's sharing from the experiences I have had, which is cool, like, it's not saying that this is everyone's experience, but it is saying that what I have experienced, I've thought through and worked through and have come to certain conclusions. It'll be fun, actually, to go back in 5 years and see how much or what changes, and then go back another 10, 15 years and see, like, where does this differ again, you know? And so I think it's going to be a neat experience for me even just to reflect back on in the future.
Sure. And you can also update the book as you go along.
Yeah.
Change your perspectives as you go on. Yes, because I think that when you get to 50, your perspective would be much different from your 25, your quarter life perspective.
Well, that speaks to the quote that I actually placed at the very front of the book. And it's a quote by Muhammad Ali. And he said that the man who views his life at the age of 50, the same that he did at the age of 20, wasted 30 years of his life. And I think it speaks very powerfully to that our perspective should change over life, because that means we're growing, we're learning, we are experiencing, and we're
and evolving too, because if you don't evolve, then that's not good. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Mm-hmm.
Precisely, yeah. So my quarter-life perspective on the path to mastery, it started out as a book about how golf can teach you about life, and it really turned into more of a book about how to pursue excellence in life and sharing mental models or frameworks that I have learned in professional golf in my own journey of pursuing excellence in that field, kind of a hyper-focused journey, and sharing those and conveying those and providing some practical things that I've found to be helpful for that path. And really it kind of stems from this phrase that I had heard in the last couple of years referring to what mastery is. And it's a phrase that mastery is simplicity on the far side of complexity.
That's beautiful.
Is,
that's obviously poetry.
Which is kind of like a heady thing to think through. But the point, the simplified version of it is if there's simplicity on the far side of complexity, what's on the near side is also simplicity, which means that the learning process kind of goes along the simplified form of simplicity, complexity, simplicity. And that's a lot of the process of development, because that mastery, the thing that's on the far side, that simplicity on the far side of complexity, is when you're able to wade through all of the different realities and parts of the equation, all of the sea of complexities that each skill set or pursuit has, and you're able to pinpoint and pick out the single element that makes perfect sense for this right situation at the right time, and you're able to explain it to a PhD scholar as well as a six-year-old and have them both understand it. That is kind of the mastery like that you see in like a Steve Jobs or these great renowned people. And so that's kind of
I was just about to say that very few mortals get there.
totally. But we can always strive towards that.
Yes,
you know, that's
you can strive,
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what this book is about. Is like it's saying like I think that this understanding of that path, this overview, this big picture perspective of that path can help you strive better because information is really helpful. I share an example from the book about the power of information, and without information, chaos always ensues. I was in an airport where the TSA was on strike, and it was another country. I won't name the airport, but I was in another country, and I was trying to get back home, and the TSA workers were on strike, and it was the longest line I had ever seen in my life in an airport.
Oh, my gosh.
And if there weren't four...
I can just visualize that.
Oh, my goodness. It was through the duty-free zone, which says a lot. And so if it wasn't for airline... There were actually airline attendants that were coming through the TSA to help, like, corral people, because there was no TSA workers there. And so if it weren't for the airline attendants helping out, providing information saying, hey, they're on strike, like if they weren't there, it would have been chaos. And there were already people becoming livid, you know, becoming furious because they want to get home, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
when you start getting more and more people getting angry with each other and the situation, it deteriorates quickly. And just having someone there to share basic information quelled a lot of that chaos. And that's kind of a smaller picture of just the power of information.
Yeah, that's true. Well, we're on the information highway right now. You can just look at Google or YouTube for anything that you want.
Totally.
So it's very, very true. All right, well, I have a follow-up question. So you're 25 when you wrote the book. So give me a snapshot of what you think that so I'm going to use your grandfather's analogy. You're a 9 mile of a 25 mile race. So you're at the quarter mile or whatever. What is your perspective from that viewpoint? Let's say that we have you're a millennial, which is the target market that I actually try to, because they're the most, you know, they can be influenced at this stage. You know, they don't have a lot of, you know, skills or things that they can't be bend, you know. So talking to a millennial, what would you say that you have learned? Again, I'm going to quote again. You're going to be talking something like a Steve Jobs quote, and you're going to bring it down to the level that a 20-year-old can understand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw it right back at you. So give some perspective to somebody that's listening, that's a millennial, that how they can self-master something that they want.
I love it. Yeah. And well, since we're on this theme, I guess I should share a Steve Jobs quote, right?
Okay.
So it's a quote I use in the book, and it is on this pursuit, actually. And so what he said is that, just a caveat, too, is just to say that I think that the biggest thing that is tough for us to admit as millennials is that we don't know it all, right? And that's always the first step, is the humility to say, look, we don't know it all, and we can benefit from learning from others. And that's the teachability. And so teachability is so important to first, like, being open to being taught by others. So so the way I like to break it down, and I guess the Steve Jobs quote, we'll start there. He says, that's been one of my mantras. Focus and simplicity. Simple can be harder than complex. You have to work hard to get your thinking clean, to make it simple. But it's worth it in the end, because once you get there, you can move mountains. Okay. And I think he displayed that in his work and his life. And so it's a process. It's a long process. But the process starts by, really, there's three big, like, pivotal truths that I like to kind of communicate. And the first is that commitment is necessary, meaning you have to be committed to what you are pursuing for a long enough time to really see the fruit of it. And that's a hard thing for our generation, the younger generation, because there's so many opportunities, there's so many avenues, there's endless things that we can do. And there's endless distractions. And so you have to be committed to what you're doing 100%. And contingency plans seem wise, but they're really not. Having a plan 8.5 versus plan A is not going to be helpful for your commitment. That's what I found out in golf is the first year. My coach was telling me this, but I didn't really own this and believe this fully until a year after playing professionally, because, you know, what if I fail? What if I do this? Well, if you entertain those thoughts, then doubt creeps in, and you're almost,
you don't have that belief that you're talking about. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
So commitment's necessary. And then you get into the place where teachability is a non-negotiable aspect of that. And that's being able to be taught by others, to learn from those who have come before you, to gain from their experience, to understand what they already know. They can help you. They can be your teammates. So to not use that is foolish and prideful and ignorant, but we must be taught by others. And then that's kind of what opens up the complexity phase of, right, this is like massive sea of complexity, all of these things that we can learn and do. And then in that sea of complexity, after you're wading through that for a long period of time, you get to the place where you start moving from universal principles down to individual principles. So what that means is, you know, there's generally applied principles within whatever job or field or work you're in. And once you're able to learn a large quantity of those principles that apply to everyone in every place, then you must start discerning out of those what's most helpful for your specific job application and your specific personality type or your individual. And that's moving to individual principles, which is the kind of the third tier, which is really self-awareness. It's developing self-awareness. So you have to understand who you are, how you operate, and what's most conducive to your best work in order to know what of the universal principles is helpful and what's not, because it won't all apply to you specifically and your specific work. And that's in golf. I had to learn that too. It's my swing coach was telling me this a lot. It was, dude, you know, you have to understand your game and best optimize your game. And I was always looking at other people's games, at other people's abilities and talents, and being like, okay, what are
they
doing?
It's natural, right? To compare yourself, right?
How can I do what they're doing? But that's not the answer. Mm-hmm. It's how can you be the best version of you and own your strengths? And so making that shift really takes a level of self-awareness that takes a lot of time to cultivate and develop. And once you start developing that and understanding yourself, and I think self-awareness, I break it down into really three processes. It's self-awareness, you have to first discover. You have to discover why you do what you do, how you do what you do, and what influences it. And then you have to start understanding it. You really become familiar with it. You start becoming, you recognize it faster in the moment. You start seeing it in real time. And then you have to optimize it, which is kind of the third step. You have to project it into the future. You have to determine it before it happens so that you can produce your best self and work in that.
Yep. Life is hard work, right? Sounds like work. If you're just going to, you know, float and whatever, you're never going to get to your true potential. Got to do hard work. And one thing I want to come back on is something has come to my awareness recently, meaning that I've known it all along. It's been knowledge, but it's not been knowledge that I have actually done anything with until I heard it again and it took root. And that is that part of the commitment thing, where in order to be, to master anything, it says that the formula, you know, some people can be, God doesn't have any time. But the formula is 20 hours per week for 10 years. in order to become master at anything. Did you agree with that? Have you ever heard that one?
I haven't heard that formula, but I do agree that, I mean, yes. It's just speaking to the numbers aren't as important as the reality that it is a massive, amount of time and effort in one direction, you know?
Yep, and it's very true. Like, I mean, I wrote one of the episodes that I did for myself, talking about. I didn't interview anybody. I just did a coaching session on a radio, and I mentioned a couple people that the people feel that they were instant success, and the instant success usually took like 19 years. And I talked about Kevin Hart, you know, Tiffany Haddish is right now blowing up. You know, all the people that you know see in Hollywood or in LA. You know, I mean, a lot of them started off by being, you know, waitresses or something, and you know, I just actually saw the movie A Star Is Born, and my feedback on that is, I said to my daughter, it's not realistic. Somebody goes from you know, performing in a nightclub to being on stage the very next day.
Yeah.
So, and then winning a Grammy like the next day after that too. And I'm thinking, you know, they're sending the wrong message. It normally takes longer than that.
You're 100% right. It's amazing. I mean, living out here has really shown me more of that too. Is like none of the people you see on screen got there overnight. They were all grinding, just like in golf, like those 7 to 10 years through.
Yeah, actually, you said it at the beginning of the show. I just remembered that. Yep. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It never is. There's always a massive problem.
And my 20 hours is probably tripled in your field, because you're not just going to go 20 hours in order to perfect, you know, being on the PGA Tour and winning. You're probably playing 20 hours out of the 24-hour day.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Or at least 10 hours, you know. 20 hours is just like, you know, 2 days a week, right? But, but that's actually the formula. Awesome. Well, all right. Well, let's we're running out of time here. So let's take our second break, and we'll come back to wrap up our show, where you can hear from Thane on how you can connect with him to collaborate on your project. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Are you dissatisfied with your life and your job? Do you feel bored, unfulfilled, maybe unhappy, stressed, or burnt out? Do you expect more from life? Then you might be interested in Chris Morgan's new book, Have the Courage to Be You, How Not to Live a Life of Quiet Desperation. Chris Morgan makes a compelling case of why choosing yourself really is the only sensible option you have in your life. Don't count on your job, your company, or your bosses to fill your life with meaning and purpose. Instead, create your own future and chart your destiny by changing your attitudes towards yourself and life itself. Have the Courage to Be You was written by Chris Morgan, CEO of www.retiredby35.com, an early retirement and personal growth blog. That website again is www.retiredby35.com. 5-star rated. Have the Courage to Be You by Chris Morgan. Now available on Amazon and where all books are sold.
Hello, and welcome to SamGood.com. We offer innovative solutions for the lawn care and vehicle washing industry for both customers and providers. We welcome you to review the information on our site so you could learn how we operate and how you can benefit. We're not just another lawn care or vehicle washing business. we're transforming the industry by directly connecting customers with qualified providers. Now, hold on to your seat for a minute, because what I'm about to say will probably shock you and hopefully pique your interest. Listen very carefully. The first 1,000 customers to receive 20 ordered jobs, meaning lawn care yard cuts, vehicle washings, or both, they will receive what we call CRAF, a Customer Relief Appreciation Fund, which is $10,000 paid out to beneficiaries of a customer if they pass away. Now, the customer still receives the funding even if we never do another job for them again after the initial 20. We offer this as an added benefit to show our appreciation to our valued customers. But wait, there's more. If a beneficiary of that customer were to pass away, that customer would receive the $10,000 or more. We say more because after we've done 20 jobs for the customer, $100 is added to the $10,000 for each additional job performed. So, every time a customer wants work done by us, we add $100 to their fund. We are the only company around that's rewarding customers on this level for just trying out our services. And our ideas of how to reward customers are only going to get better as we grow. Our valued customers will always remain our top priority. Thank you, and we look forward to having you as a customer or provider.
Welcome back to the Transform Your Mind radio show and podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today I've had a very stimulating conversation with Thane Marcus Ringler. He is a former pro golfer, and now he is a speaker, author, coach, collaborator, and you can tell from our interview that he knows his stuff. So I can see you being very successful at what you do because you're very deep, and I thank you for being on the show and inspiring millennials that you can be 26 and be this deep. You know, it's not the age where you just go, you know, play and have fun and do all the things that they say when you're young you're supposed to do. No, you think about the race. You think about the marathon race. And you think about now that you're at the quarter mile, what do you want when you're 80 to look like, which is something that I teach when I coach. When you're in your rocking chair at 80 years old and you're looking back on your life, you know, what do you hope it can be? And, yeah, you don't wait until you're 50 or so at midlife to have a crisis, which is why they say midlife crisis. Mm-hmm. You look at it from now and you set yourself up. So, you know, Thane gave us some really good nuggets, some of them that I will quote. And I love the one that will focus on simplicity is harder than complex. I think that's what it was. Mm-hmm. And for millennials, one of the things that they have to be aware of is that they have to have teachability, right? And mm-hmm. I also like the one, mastery is simplicity on the far side of complexity. Wow. You know, not everybody can wrap their mind around that one. But yes, I know, right? So that is mm-hmm. great. So now as we wrap up, Thane, tell the audience how they can, what do you do? You know, how do you do what you do right now? Do you, I know you talk about being a speaker. You have your book. Tell them where they can get your book and how you do your collaboration. How can someone get in touch with you?
Yes, I love it. Thank you, Myrna. And I think the last thing that I was going to tack on to that, the description of that, is just that failure is likely in the journey, and that's okay. Yeah. Failure is a great tutor in life. Yeah. It helps us clarify and learn, and it's not to be glorified, but my whole career has been based on failure, and this book mm-hmm. is based on failure. And so mm-hmm. I think that it teaches us so much, and if you want to understand that phrase a little bit more clearly, I would recommend buying the book. My book is based on that equation.
Really? Okay, that's awesome.
I would love for people to pick up a copy of that. You can go to ThaneMarcus.com is where I'm selling from here to there, and it'll be on Amazon in the coming month as well. And then the collaboration work I do is a combination, I say, of coaching, consulting, and creating. And it's really coming alongside people. I call them teammates because that's really what it is, being a teammate and coach, and helping them get clear about the vision, where they're going, examine current life and what the good and the bad, and how we can improve the systems and habits and routines, and then really creating and developing the strategic game plan, the steps ahead to execute on in order to achieve that vision. And it's been a really fun and fulfilling process for me. So I would love for people to reach out. You can send me an email through the website. There's also a kind of a vision casting PDF that I offer for people that are curious about what the first conversation normally looks like. And just excited to hear from you guys and would love your support in that way.
Oh, that's awesome. I love the vision casting. I love it, love it, love it. Yes, you're going to do very well. You've got a great career in front of you. So thank you so much for coming on the Transform Your Mind radio show. You've definitely a guest that will transform the mind of the millennials that are listening, that you've got to be aware. You've got to know where you want to go. Vision casting. Love that. I'm going to grab onto that one. Self-mastery from here to there. That's what coaches teach. Every time you go to a coach or you go to, even a therapist, you've got a plan. You're there. You're here right now, and you want to get over there. So that is the synopsis of what, coaching is from here to there. Just like if I'm in Florida right now and I want to get to California, there's a map,
yes.
Right? I have to follow a GPS route, right? So from here to there, how do I get there? And, Thane's book is going to break it down for you and how you can master yourself. And I love that golf has taught him that, yes, self-mastery is the most important thing. You've got to master yourself. And what I do, that's one of the things that I've always been able to do. I can be my own coach. There's not a lot of people that can be their own coach because they need accountability, because they can't do self-mastery. They're not going to do it if somebody is not there saying, hey, did you do this? Whatever. But, I'm one of those people that can, and you've actually, I'm pretty sure that you can yourself because you've learned that. Over the years that you were only a pro golfer for 4 years, but you've been doing this stuff since you were 3 years, when you were playing golf, because it's a long process. So that's great. So I thank you for, being on the show. I want to encourage my listeners to support this podcast by subscribing and, posting a review, so that I can continue to bring great guests like Thane every week, so that we can help you to live your best life now, which is my tagline, but I also understand that it's your tagline as well from your show, the Up and Comers Show. You said a podcast about learning how to live a good life, and mine is to live your best life now, because this is the only life you've got, right? And you don't want to live it with regret when you're 80 of all the things that you should have done and you didn't do. And it's pretty good to plan it and be proactive and have a vision and do something every day towards it. And I'm going to tag on the commitment piece. Don't expect, success to come overnight. You have to be committed to it. You have to persevere. And just keep in mind that it's going to take you 10 years. And if it comes sooner, because, you can have faith, and, God doesn't work on everybody else's time. You can be like you can be like a star is born and get discovered and be famous the next day. But, be prepared to put in the work just in case it doesn't happen like that, right? All right. So any last words, Thane? I like the one about failure. And by the way, let me say something on that, too. I know that Steve Jobs has a quote on that as well, is that, you know, the failure is your best teacher, I think. So, yeah, you know, we love Steve. He's one of the masters for sure.
He really is.
He wasn't a perfect human being, but then we are not all perfect human beings, but he was a master at his craft.
Yes, yep. Indeed. Yep. No, it's true. Yep. That, and no one is a perfect human being, and that's really important to know and recognize that each person has shortfalls and misgivings. Mm-hmm. And so to have a human view of people is really helpful. But, yeah, I just want to thank you, Myrna, for having me on. This has been a really fun conversation for me as well.
Yeah, and I enjoyed it.
I think mm-hmm. you're doing some great work through your podcast and your businesses. So definitely keep doing that. That's what I think is I'm really passionate and inspired towards, is just if we can all, and this is what I'd leave with, is two things. If we can all just take ownership of our own lives and never settle for less than we're capable of, then we can really move the needle in society and in the world in helping it be a better place for ourselves and for others. And, and so I just want to challenge everyone with that. And to know that building anything takes that combination of patience and persistence. So.
Yes. Love it. All right. Enjoyed this. And listen, good luck with your book. And thank you again for sharing your knowledge. It was a pleasant conversation. And I learned a few things, too.
Amen. I love it. Thank you, Myrna.
All right. Well, listen, thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for tuning into the Transform Your Mind at Radio Show and Podcast. Until next time, namaste.